So can you imagine the fear and the confusion the disciples and the woman were feeling that morning when their beloved and their believed Messiah was crucified after being tortured? Wonder what they had so much they were going through. And adding to this, the soldiers were hunting for them to bring them, to sentence them to death because they were believers. So the Jews and the Pharisees also, because of their jealousy, they also wanted to help the soldiers. They wanted Christianity stamped out, eradicated. They wanted to prove that this Jesus, he was a fraud. And he was a trickster. And they wanted all that put to an end. And so with fear, they gathered behind locked doors. And this reminds us of what's going on now in some areas, like in Malaysia, areas of China, areas of Indonesia, to name but a few. People are still fearing for their lives. They're still having to gather in secret. And in some of those places, even a year or two ago, some of their churches were burnt down, even whilst people were in there worshipping. So such things were going on then. But it was worse because they were the soldiers, the Jews, the Pharisees, they were determined to stamp this all out. But the disciples, they had been with Jesus. They had walked with him. They had talked with him. They knew him. They saw what he did. And they just believed that this had to be the true Messiah. This had to be God in man. And they believed. Even though they gathered with such constraint and restraint and fear, their faith was strong. And furthermore, Mary Magdalene that morning had been to the tomb and it was empty. And Peter and others went and saw also it was empty and his grave cloth lying there. And Mary Magdalene had an encounter with Jesus, and he told her what to tell the disciples. And so there was so much excitement in the air, so much confusion, so much anticipation, so much wonder. And in that atmosphere, Jesus appeared before them. And his first words to them, because he knew what was going on in their heart, he knew the fear, he knew the confusion. He said, "Peace be with you." And that peace brought healing, brought reassurance, brought comfort. And to further allay their anxieties, because they knew there was so much doubt still, he showed them his hands. And he showed them his side. And knowing that God was the God of the impossible, there's nothing he cannot do. Seeing Jesus talking with them, they received peace. And they further believe. And then they rejoice. God had returned. Our Savior is with us. To seal their peace, he said the second time, "Peace be with you." And we remember in Matthew 10, Jesus called his 12 disciples and he said, I give you authority to go before me, to heal the sick and all those with diseases, and to drive out demons. And here again, on this resurrection day, he further empowers his disciples. He breathed on them the Holy Spirit, and he said, even as my Father sent me, so I send you, so I send you. So again, he's giving them authority. Again, he's empowering them. Again, he's strengthening them. Again, he's saying, all that I do, I'm enabling you to do. As long as you trust, and as long as you believe, as long as you walk by faith and stand fast in your righteousness. But let's for a moment, considering the equality, diversity, and inclusion event that was recently held at the circuit, let's look at Jesus from another angle. For he represents every human being. We were all made in his image. Christ was deformed by our brutality, no cold in his hands and his sides. And no doubt his bones were broken when he was so badly beaten. And his face was beyond recognition. He endured so much pain. But he was no less a person. He was still Jesus. He was still God in man. He was still man, the Son of Man. And so every disabled person carries that image of God. They may not be able to see, some of those that are blind, but they can still write a book and become professors. They may look different and look deformed, but they still have love, humility, justice, and peace. They may be mentally disabled, but they can still feel. They can still love. And they can still show so much love and affection. In fact, so Reverend Paul Weary, he sent us some reading material on this study because he wanted this included in our sermon. And in one of them, someone was visiting in one of these homes, and the staff member was showing them around. He saw a young person reading to an elderly man, and he thought, how wonderful, how good that the young people are bothering and are helping, and that it would do them good. But the staff member said to him, no, 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 it's the other way around. The elderly man is helping them and showing them how to read. So he went into another area, in another place, and he saw someone being cared for by carers, and the person was very ill and dying. And he thought, that dear man must be feeling such comfort by the help that he's been given, by the care that he's been given. Oh no, the staff said, he is helping the carers to care. He's shown them to care. Because you see, it's in giving, Jesus said, that we receive. It's in helping that we receive. So much we benefit from giving. We're changed by giving. Being selfish and assuming is a destruction and a distraction from the true love of God. But God is great and merciful. And there's so many different ways that he shows us his love. And so how do we look at others that appear different from ourselves? Equality and respect are due to everyone because we're made in his likeness. It's not always what we see. But often we see that we perceive wrongly. We might see someone really ill, not, they may look as if they're not with us, not thinking, in a different world. And then, when we hear their life story, when we hear what they actually do, and some of them actually travel around speaking, praying for others, teaching others, equipping others. So God has a way of showing us to care, to love, to be careful, and not to take each other for granted, and to respect and to love everyone. I believe that in heaven, we will see each other as God intended, and then we will be thankful that we treated each other with love, with respect, with humanity, with peace, with care. I believe that when Jesus said, "Peace be with you," it built in the disciples love and compassion for all mankind so they could demonstrate the word of God without discrimination and with deep faith. He empowered them so they could go into all the world with all the variation of different people and humankind, teaching the gospel, because Jesus died for everyone. The kingdom of heaven is open to everyone that believes and to receive. But Thomas was not there that first evening on Resurrection Day. And he said, "Well, unless I see Jesus for myself, unless I see his scar hands and put my fingers in his hand, unless I see his side and put my hand in his side, I won't believe you. I'm not going to believe this. You probably saw a ghost or something, or you were making tricks on me." And so a week later, when they're all gathered again, praising God and singing, Jesus appeared. And he repeated Thomas's words again. And he must have been so ashamed. He must have been so distressed by his unbelief. And Jesus said, "Here are my hands. Come, put your fingers in. Here are my side." When he saw all that, then he knew that the other disciples were telling the truth. Then he believed because he'd seen. Then he said, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said, "You believe, Because you see. So blessed are those who have not seen, and yet they believe. The disciples, they were empowered to take the gospel to the ends of the earth, to people who had never seen Jesus, who had never heard of Jesus. But they were to believe and to receive him as their Messiah, as the risen Savior, as their hope, as their light. That is real faith. But we like to look at things and we like to say, well, we see, we can believe it. And that may be true in some cases. But when it comes to God, we can't see God. But that doesn't mean God does not exist. A blind man will not be able to see the sun, but he can feel the sunshine. Because he doesn't see the sun doesn't mean that there's not the sun. God is real. And our faith has to live up to the reality. God is who we say he is. Jesus is the Son of God, risen Savior. He died and rose again, that we might be redeemed from our sins, that we might have hope of eternal life. Many don't believe in heaven or hell. They say it's right here on earth. But what do we believe in? The choice is ours. Of course, God gives us free will. He gives us his word. And we, like Jesus said, don't believe me because I say so, but believe for the work's sake, for the things that are done. For in his name, the dead will rise. The sick will be healed. People delivered from demonic entities. And hope of life. God is good, and he's real. This is what the disciples had to impart everywhere they went. And this is why it was so important to receive the Holy Spirit then and now. He is the Spirit of truth. He empowers us. He gives us courage and ability. The Holy Spirit is an instructor, a guide, counselor. Basically, the Holy Spirit replaces Jesus here on earth because Jesus is up in heaven with his Father. And he said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will send you the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, to guide us and to direct us on the earth. And he's living on the inside of the Christian persons. And he further told them to wait for the Holy Spirit before they continued to spread the gospel, because he knew that they needed extra empowerment. And so in Acts 2, on the day of Pentecost, which is about 50 days later, the Holy Spirit, because they were all in one accord, and they walked in one accord, especially those days, those early days. They were so strong in faith. They watched over one another. So the Holy Spirit rained down on them, and even on those who had already received him when Jesus breathed on them on that first day. They were filled to overflowing with evidence of speaking in all the various languages. with this new boldness of the Holy Spirit, they did not even fear death. They were so emboldened, so full of courage. They were prepared to take the gospel to the ends of the earth, to heal, to deliver, to guide the hearts of man back to our beloved God through the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, so they could be saved. To this end, they were prepared to die, knowing that a greater glory awaited them in heaven. The song said, "When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count as but loss, I pour contempt and all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my Lord, all the vain things that charms me most, I sacrifice them to his blood." And I know these were taken from the words of Paul, but it resonates with us today, when we're able to give our all because we owe so much. And in this charged faith, with this enthusiasm, this joy, this enlightenment and unity, we see the believers in Acts 4 in one heart and one mind. And they shared everything they had. Remember, they were being persecuted, hiding. Some of them, their homes were destroyed. Some of them had to run away to keep alive. So they had no homes. They had to leave everything behind them. So those that had, they shared everything. And some went and sold some of what they had. And they brought the money to Paul. And they brought the money to the disciples. So everyone could share. Everyone had everything in common. And that's true love, true unity. And that was needed, especially in those first days, to be able to go and spread the gospel. We read everything belonged to them equally. And this was the stain of the Holy Spirit in them. The Holy Spirit calls us to help one another, to be good to one another, to share with one another, to equip one another. Because of the Holy Spirit in this and their faith, Christianity grew and churches were planted and continues to this day. The Great Commission is still in process to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ as given by God our Father to the ends of the earth. Jesus said he is with us to the end. The Holy Spirit is our guide all the way, and Jesus is coming back again very soon. Lord, increase our faith. Amen.